Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we will begin reading in verse 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace of God, that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you in Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, Father, we do thank you for the scripture that we've read here. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have, and I pray you'd help us to see some wonderful things out of here. Lord, I pray you challenge our hearts with what we read today. Lord, you know everybody here, and we just thank you for all that you've given. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it's kind of an amazing passage of Scripture. Paul is talking about the ministry and the things that he's done. He's talking about wanting to come to Rome to preach to the Christians and the churches that are there. And he's planning on going into Spain and stopping by there. And, you know, the amazing thing is Paul did end up at Rome, didn't he? But he was taken there and imprisoned there. And but God still used him during that time. But he had plans on going to Rome, and he was going to go to Spain, and go into Spain preach the gospel there. And so he was looking at that part way over toward the Atlantic Ocean, on the other side of the Mediterranean. On the other side, in the other end of the Mediterranean, where he was going, he was trying to preach the gospel all the way over there and into Rome and all that area over there. And he said some things here that were kind of amazing, but he looked at, he said, before I go there, he said, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and he said, the saints that are in Macedonia and Achaia, that's over toward Corinth and those places over there in that area, he said, in Thessalonica, that area, he said that they put together an offering for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem, and he was going to go, and they were going to be a blessing to them. Those churches we talked about over there among the Jews had fallen into hard times through persecution, and they were sending relief for them. They were sending offering, something to help them and provide for them. And you can read about that in the book of Acts, and you can read about it in the book of First and Second Corinthians, and Second Corinthians in particular, where he talks about it. But they helped one another, so that you can see the impact of his ministry. You can see how he said he preached from round about Jerusalem unto Illyricum. Now, I'll let you get a map and find out where Illyricum is, but that's a pretty good piece. And now he went all the way over this way to the east, and now he's wanting to go all the way over to the west and of his area. And so his ministry was there, and it was expansive, and you consider he didn't have planes, trains, or automobiles. He didn't have internet. He didn't have anything. He just had shoe leather and elbow grease. Yep. And the grace of God. I think sometimes we miss that. Yep. We sit there and we get so used to being in a culture of all these creature comforts that we have, that get dependent upon them, and sometimes they turn out to be more hindrances than helps, and they get used for more things. You know, most of the creature comforts we have, we use not for actually getting any work done. We use them for entertainment, don't we? Yeah. I was listening to a fella had a comedian on the radio the other day, and he was talking about that people have all these phones, and he said, "Could you imagine carrying in your pocket a?" Something that is considered electronic marvel. It's greater than the big computers. It's more processing power in this than the computers that they used to calculate how to get to the moon. Yep. And back. And in your pocket, you have all that calculating power. And then when something happens to it, our first instinct is to throw it in the back of rice. You know, it gets wet, we put it in rice and stuff like that. That's our thing to fix it. And it's kind of silly when you think about it. And I understand all the purpose and everything behind it, but it is kind of comical when you think you have this big electronic marvel, and then you got to keep it from water, and then throw it in rice and things like that, which rice is just a staple food, right? So it's just kind of comical when you look at that, but. But you know, it just amazes me how much our forefathers accomplished, our Christian forefathers, the apostles and those that follow them, and many of many people throughout history, how much they accomplished simply by relying upon the grace of God. You know, you look in your songbook and you see, if you read the names of the people that were in there, you find a lady that was by the name of Fanny Crosby, who was blind from her infancy, and yet wrote over 10,000 hymns. What an amazing testimony. She wrote over 10,000 hymns. A blind woman. Blind all her life. What an amazing thing it is to see how God uses people who are just willing to trust Him. But you know, there's something in this passage of Scripture that caught my eye when I was reading it. And the thought came to me. He said in verse 20, he said, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire to see you these many years to come unto you, Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Do you understand what he's saying there? Paul is saying that I have always wanted to come to Rome to see y'all, but I've been hindered. And why has he been hindered? Well, his hindrance is because he has striven to preach Christ in places where Christ had not been named, to go to places where there were no churches, where there was no gospel witness, and go and start churches. Of course, we go through the book of Acts and we see all the churches that he started, right? Yeah. But he went to places where they didn't have a gospel witness already, in most cases. And he led people to the Lord and he started churches. And he's gone throughout all this time. He's getting toward the end of his life. And this is before he was imprisoned. And he's talking to writing to the people at Rome. And he's saying to them, he said, that he's always wanted to come see them, but he was hindered by the fact that he's been going about trying to establish churches in places where the gospel wasn't named. The gospel had already been preached at Rome by others. There was a church at Rome when he wrote this. And he said, but I've always wanted to come see you. And then he says these words, but now, having no more place in these parts. In other words, he's saying that this area that I have focused on, trying to go places where Christ has not been named, I've covered it. I don't have a place in these parts. I've preached the gospel all the way over this area. I've been everywhere here. I have no more place. Now, Paul had a great ministry. He had a great ministry in the sense that God ordained him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and he took the gospel out to the Gentiles all over the known world at that time. And he had done some, he did some fantastic things. You look at the churches that were established. You know, just look at the epistles. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossae, Thessalonica. All of these places that they had planted churches. You go to the book of Acts and you see that he planted churches at Iconium and Lystra and Berea. And here he mentions Illyricum. And then you look at the churches in the book of Revelation, those churches in Asia, Ephesus being one of them. And all those churches, they have a lineage that goes back to the Apostle Paul and the work that he did, as well as the other apostles. But most of them are the product of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the way God used him. He said, you know what? But he got to a point where he said, having no more place in these parts. I've got the gospel out. I've accomplished what I was supposed to do. And now I'm headed for Rome, and for Spain, and I want to stop by Rome and I want to see you. He said, I was hindered because there were places around here that needed the gospel, and I got there. And by God's grace, I preached the gospel. Now there's no more place. I wonder, can we say that? As a church, can we say that individually? I mean, not everybody has the same ministry. Not everybody is sent everywhere, but we all have a work. We all have a ministry. There are people that God wants us to reach with the gospel. Can you say you've reached everybody you were supposed to reach with the gospel? Are there any yet out of understanding? Outstanding. Are there any that you have not talked to, shared your testimony with? Can you honestly say you have no more place in those parts? What about your neighborhood, your family, your neighborhood, your city, your state, your county, your state? Now, we sent out all those mailers to everybody in this zip code and folks in the zip code north of us and the zip code south of us, right? We sent out all that stuff. But we still hadn't reached all of Moss Point. We still hadn't reached all of Pascagoula and Lucedale and all these places and Hurley and everybody with the gospel. We've given it to many of them. We've mailed it out to every address that we can. And yes, we've done that. But there's still more work to be done. As a church, we have more work to do. Wouldn't you agree? He said there's churches all over the place. And I understand that. Some of them are good churches, Bible-believing churches. Some of them aren't. Some of them preach the truth, some of them don't. But can't be worried about them. All I can be worried about, what does God want us to do? Can't rely and wait on everybody else. Can't throw it off on everyone else and say, well, there's enough churches up there. We don't have to worry about those folks. We don't have to do that. We've got a job to do. And even if we did send a mailer to every house, there is a responsibility. When we talk about a harvest and everything, it's not just sowing. There's sowing, watering, reaping, right? There's care. Some things take time to grow. Seeds planted. Do we want to leave it to chance that it gets watered? Yeah, I got something in my garden. I got a hose going out in my garden. I haven't really needed it this year. All the rain. I got too much rain, but the simple fact was I have a hose going out to the garden, and that garden, on the end of that hose, there's a sprinkler. And why do I have that there on my garden? I have it there because when I plant a seed, I don't want to leave it to chance that the seed's going to get enough water to germinate and grow. I want to make sure it does. do whatever I can to make sure it happens. Granted, there's always things beyond my control. There's things beyond our control. But it doesn't relieve us of a responsibility for trying to do what we can. But it starts with individuals. We need to reach our families. We need to reach our friends. We need to reach our county, our state, our nation, as well as everybody else. Think about what a blessing it would be. What a clear conscience would you have to be able to say, I've preached the gospel to everybody I can get it to. Think about standing at the judgment seat of Christ and being able to say with all confidence, Lord, I told everybody I could. Sometimes we say that. We say we've done all we can when we really hadn't done all we can. We've done all we wanted to do. And we just kind of hope that people will believe us. You ever been there? You say, well, I did everything I can, but you know in the back of your mind there's something else you probably could have done. But you hope everybody's just going to believe you that you told the truth about it. Everything like that. I've done all I could. And the truth is you've done all you wanted to, or all you were willing to do, or all you were not afraid to do. Right? That's human nature. We want everybody to think well of us even when we fail. But when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be any. There's not going to be any subterfuge of any kind. He's going to know exactly what we did and what we didn't do. What wonderful peace it would be to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I have no more place in these parts. Stand before Him and say, hey, I did everything I could do. How amazing that would be. I did everything I could do. I told all my family. I told my children. I told my grandchildren. I told my great-grandchildren. I told my neighbors. I told my mama, my daddy. I told my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, everybody. I mean, go down the list. I told my family. I told my wife's family. I told my husband's family. I told my in-laws. I told my outlaws. I told all of them. What great things God has done for me. Would be a wonderful thing to stand before God that way. And it's within our reach, beloved. It's within our reach to have a clear conscience before God when it comes to getting the gospel to people. And we're doing that as a church, but we can do it individually too. There are places you can reach that I can't. Just as there are places that I may be able to reach that you can't. You know, if we were going to have a thorough cleaning of the church, I want you to think about this. Think about this logically. We're going to have a thorough cleaning of the church. So I bring in a push broom. About that wide. About that deep. Got a long handle on it. Push broom. Can I do a thorough cleaning with the push broom? The answer is no. Can I do a pretty good cleaning with the push broom? Well, sure I can. I can get a lot of stuff. I can get the most of it, to be honest with you. But it's not going to get the corners, is it? It's not going to get inside the windows. It's not going to get the places where it needs to go. No, I got to get something else. I can get me a sponge. I can go into the restroom in there. I can spray cleaner on it, and I can wipe something down. But there comes a time when I'm going to have to get something that can get in the nooks and crannies, because just wiping it's not going to keep it done, is it? Mm-hmm. Over time, you're going to get buildup, and if you want it out there, you got to get in there and dig it out, don't you? Yep. You know, we as a church, we can do a pretty good job of getting the gospel out and blanketing the area with it. But it takes you and me individually to get down into the nooks and crannies and to reach the other places. That's just the truth. Wouldn't it be so grand to be able to say we have no more place in these parts? Wouldn't it be grand to be able to just stand up with a clear conscience toward God and be willing to say, And that with all honesty, that we've done everything we possibly could by the grace of God, and then to hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words. Amen. I want to hear those words one day. And God has supplied everything we need. We just have to make use of it. We just have to be His instruments. You see, it's God that actually does the work through us, isn't it? We're just the instruments. We're just the cleaning tools, if you will. What an amazing thing if we could say that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll dismiss you with that thought and charge you. Let's go out and try to win a soul to Christ this week. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to desire above all things to just be pleasing in your sight. Make sure everybody's heard and everybody's had the opportunity to be saved. Lord, we just pray for those that are lost. We pray for their salvation. Whether they're here in our midst or out on the streets, we just pray that people would see how much you love them and what great price was paid for their salvation. That they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Help us, Father, we pray. And bless your people, we pray, as we go. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.